वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। यस्टरडे वी बिगैन द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता ध्यान योग और अष्टांग योग। इन दैट वी हैव सीन द फर्स्ट 9 श्लोकास and in the first 2 shlokas Krishna again glorifies Nishkama Karma Yoga, and in the 3rd and 4th shlokas he describes the 2 levels of this Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, which are Yoga Aruruksha stage and Yoga Arudha stage. In the Aruruksha stage, which is the beginning stage of yoga, one should still perform his prescribed duties, that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. But when one comes to the advanced levels of Ashtanga Yoga in Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, so one can give up one's prescribed duties, means he need not perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay? And mind has a very important role to play in this Dhyana Yoga. So in the 5th and 6th shlokas, Krishna describes that the mind that is controlled is a friend, and the mind that is not controlled is an enemy in your practice of yoga. And in the 7th, 8th and 9th shlokas, Krishna describes the symptoms of a person who is in the advanced stages of Ashtanga Yoga, that is Yoga Arudha stage. So Jitatmanaha Prashantasya Paramatma Samahitaha, like that he enumerates at least 10 qualities of a person who is in Yoga Arudha stage. Okay. Now from the 10th shloka till the 32nd shloka, Krishna describes various practices in the Ashtanga Yoga. Okay, what are the various stages? From 10th to 17th shlokas, Krishna describes the practicing stage of Ashtanga Yoga, and from 18th to 23rd shlokas, he describes the perfectional stage of Ashtanga Yoga. Okay, so now 10th shloka. योगी युञ्जीत सततम् आत्मानं रहसि स्थितः एकाकीयत चित्तात्मा निराशीर अपरिग्रहः। दिस 10th श्लोक डिस्क्राइब्स द प्रैक्टिस ऑफ ए अष्टांग योगी हु इज इन ए एडवांस्ड स्टेज, योगा रूढ़ा स्टेज. When he comes to the stage of meditating on the Super Soul, what are the nature of his practices? Okay, what does he do? Krishna describes, Yogi Yunjita Satatam. He is always engaged in the yoga practice. He engages his body, mind and self in Samadhi. Okay, next. Atmanam Rahasisthitaha. Okay, Rahasisthitaha means he stays in a secluded place. He doesn't stay in a place which is where he is accessible to common people. Okay, and ekaki means he stays alone. Atmanam rahasisthitaha ekaki. And yata chittatma. Yata chittatma means he endeavors to carefully control his mind. So his mind is completely in control. Having already done the practices of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, he has brought his mind under his control. Okay, so that's why he is described as yata chittatma. Next, nirashir. Nirashi means he has no material desires. He is free from all desires. Aparigraha. Aparigraha means he does not have any possessiveness or a sense of proprietorship over material objects. Fine. So these are the qualities or the practices of a person who is in advanced stages of Ashtanga Yoga, that is Yoga Arudha stage. Fine. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, Krishna consciousness means concisely to be always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. But those who are attached to the impersonal Brahman or the localized super soul are also partially Krishna conscious. Because impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna. Paramatma is the partial representation or the expansion of Krishna. And Krishna is the full, complete, supreme personality of Godhead. Okay, who is the source of this Brahman and Paramatma. Okay. So if somebody is trying to approach Brahman or Paramatma or meditate on Brahman or Paramatma, they are also Krishna conscious, but partially, not completely. Now Prabhupada gives this beautiful example of a cup of milk in the third canto, teachings of Lord Kapila. He says, when there is a cup of milk, you try to bring your eyes in contact with the milk, means you will see it as a white substance. Then you bring your hand in contact with the milk, you will find it hot liquid or wet liquid, or cold liquid, you will find that. You try to bring your ears in contact with the milk, you will hear about the milk. Okay? And you also try to bring your nose in contact with the milk, you will find its aroma, whether it is sweet or whatever it may be. But through these four senses, although you are bringing these four senses in contact with the milk, you are not completely taking advantage of the milk. So you will get the maximum benefit of that cup of milk by bringing your tongue in contact with the milk. Just by pouring that milk in your mouth, you will get the maximum benefit of the milk. Just by seeing the milk or touching the milk or smelling the milk or hearing about the milk will not make you take advantage of the milk completely. By drinking the milk, you will take full advantage of the milk. Similarly, one may meditate on the Brahman, one may meditate on the super soul, but such a meditator, such a worshipper of Brahman or of Paramatma or Paramatma, are not taking the full advantage of the Supreme Lord. Only by practicing Bhakti Yoga and worshipping the personality of Godhead Krishna, you are taking full advantage of that personality. Otherwise, you are just doing some yoga or Paramatma meditation, Ashtanga Yoga, then you are just trying to realize a partial aspect of Krishna, which is Paramatma. That's what Ashtanga Yoga does. Or you try to meditate on Brahman, you are only trying to realize his effulgence, okay, which is also spiritual, no doubt about it. But the greatest advantage can be attained by Bhakti Yoga, where you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you offer services to the Lord, you see him face to face. Okay? That's what Prabhupada is saying. So these Paramatma meditators and Brahman meditators are also Krishna conscious, but partially Krishna conscious. Thus the impersonalist and the meditator are also indirectly Krishna conscious. A directly Krishna conscious person is the topmost transcendentalist, because such a devotee knows what is meant by Brahman and Paramatma. So by directly serving the personality of Godhead, the effulgence of that personality, Brahman, is right there. And the partial representation of that personality, which is Paramatma, is included in that personality of Godhead Krishna. So Bhakti Yoga includes the results of Jnana Marga or Ashtanga Yoga Marga. Okay? So a Bhakti Yogi is not deprived of other realizations because he has higher realization. If you have a 1,000 rupee note in your pocket, means you already have 100 rupee note or 200 rupee note or 500 rupee note. It may not be explicitly seen, but if you can exchange it, you will get the change also. Right? Like that. So nevertheless, all of these are instructed herewith to be constantly engaged in their particular pursuits so that they may come to the highest perfection sooner or later. If Bhakti Yoga is the highest, if drinking the milk is the highest, why speak about touching the milk or hearing about the milk or seeing the milk, etc.? Yeah, Krishna is describing meditation on Paramatma, or meditation on Brahman, okay, but some people may prefer that. So even if you are preferring a partial representation of Krishna, that's fine. than getting absorbed too much into materialism. So sooner or later, these people also will come to the level of bhakti yoga. So Krishna is trying to cater to the needs of different kinds of conditioned souls who should be realizing the Supreme Lord from wherever they are. He is trying to uplift them. Even in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya. Means you engage your mind in me, fix your mind completely in me by always thinking of me. If you cannot do that, mai buddhim niveshaya. At least engage your intelligence in me. If you can't even do that, engage your senses in my service. So, if you can't do bhakti on a mental level, do on an intellectual level. If you can't do that also, do on sensual level. Because absorbing your mind in Krishna is much higher than absorbing intelligence in Krishna. You are trying to control your mind and focus on the holy name. It's quite difficult. But while reading scriptures, you are engaging your intelligence. That's little easier. Okay? And that also sometimes is difficult for some people. Going out and then doing some physical work, that's much easier. Okay? Cooking for Krishna, or plucking flowers, making garlands. So, engaging senses becomes much easier compared to engaging mind. Okay? So, as far as action is concerned, means you are more exerting yourself by engaging in physical activity. But sitting in one corner and chanting the holy names may seem like you are not doing much. But that's more exhausting. Right? Controlling the mind is much more exhausting. So that's on a higher plane. So one cannot directly always think of Krishna. Okay? Very advanced souls can always think of Krishna. You can endeavor by chanting 16 rounds. And rest of the time you can always engage your senses and intelligence in Krishna's service. Okay? But point is, sooner or later, you are given an opportunity to come to the level of Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Complete Bhakti Yoga. So Krishna is gradually, Krishna is presenting various levels of connecting with Him. Various options of connecting with Him from wherever you are. What suits you, you take it. Okay? Like that. Some people may prefer to do some yogic practices. Okay, fine. It's for them. But it's very difficult, I'm telling you, Krishna says. So, see this. Nevertheless, all of these are instructed herewith to be constantly engaged in their particular pursuits so that they may come to the highest perfection sooner or later. Okay. The first business of a transcendentalist is to keep the mind always in Krishna. One should always think of Krishna and not forget Him even for a moment. Concentration of the mind on the Supreme is called samadhi or trance. In order to concentrate the mind, one should always remain in seclusion and avoid disturbance by external objects. So basically, Prabhupada elaborates on the four lines that Krishna spoke. Okay. And Prabhupada also quotes this shloka by Rupa Goswami. How to be Krishna conscious always. Anasaktasya vashayan yatharham upayunjitaha nirbandhaha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya mucchate. Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mukshubirparityago vairagyam falgu kathyate. He gives the definitions of yukta vairagya, means engaging everything in Krishna consciousness. And he also describes the definition of falgu vairagya, which is rejecting things, not acknowledging the thing's connection with Krishna. Okay, that is falgu vairagya. So point is, you try to engage everything in Krishna's service and always try to be fixed up in Krishna. So, Ashtanga Yogi is focusing on the Super Soul in a certain way, but the principle of focusing on the Supreme Lord is relevant for a Bhakti Yogi also. Okay? 11th and 12th slokas. Shuchaudeshe pratishthapya.
Shuchaudeshe pratishthapya.
Sthiram asanam atmanah. Natyucharitam natichinicham. Chailanjanakushottaram. Tatraikagram manah kritva. Yata chittendriya kriyaham. Upavishyasane yunjat. युञ्ज्यात् योगम् आत्मविशुद्धये. सो इन दिस टू वर्सेस एंड इन द नेक्स्ट टू वर्सेस ऑल्सो Krishna describes the basic practices of Ashtanga Yoga. He comes back. Advanced stages he described in the 10th sloka. Always fixed, that is Samadhi stage and all. But now he describes the basic practices of Asana, Pranayama and all that. So first is, Shuchu Deshe Pratishthapya. You sit in a very clean place. Next, Sthiram Asanam Atmanaha. Sthiram Asanam. Your Asana has to be very steady and sthiram, okay? You cannot sit on a moving platform or a tilted platform like that. You just keep put a nice mat in a clean place and then sit nicely. Na ati uccharitam na ati neecham. It should not be so high, it should not be so low. Some asana. Chailanjana kushottaram. Okay? So a deer skin, on top of it maybe some soft cloth you can put. For you, yoga mat, but a kusha mat, that's best. Okay. Next, tatraikagram manaha kritva yata chittendriya kriyaha. Then, ekagram, fix your mind on one point. Tatra ekagram manaha kritva, don't allow the mind to deviate here and there. Okay. Yata chittendriya kriyaha, chitta and indriya, control your consciousness and senses. Okay. Mind and senses. Upavishyasane yunjat yogam atma vishuddhaye. So you do all this and then begin the practice of yoga for the purification of your own consciousness. Atma vishuddhaye means purifying your consciousness. So here Krishna also emphasized on sitting in a very clean place and sacred place. So sacred place refers to places of pilgrimage. In India, there are so many sacred places like Mathura, Vrindavan, Prayaga, Rishikesha, Haridwar, etc. So one can be there. But Prabhupada, immediately, right in the beginning only, he clarifies. So all this you don't have to do. You sit at one place and chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to go to a secluded place. You don't have to find a deer skin. You don't have to sit like that. So all set in. Some of these principles are good for our japa also, but some of these principles like going to a secluded place and sitting on a deer skin and all that may not be relevant for us, are not relevant for us. Prabhupada simply says, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama eva kevalam. Kalau nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva gatiranyatha. So you don't have to do, don't worry about all this. So what is important for you is there in the next seven chapters, next six chapters. Okay, Prabhupada repeats the essence in these chapters also. But what exactly an Ashtanga Yogi does? So that is being described here. Not necessary that you have to do it. Okay, if you want to do it, it's up to you. But Prabhupada says, for us, what is more relevant, especially in Kali Yuga, Ashtanga Yoga is not practiced properly. Right? It cannot be practiced properly. The distraction levels in Kali Yuga are very high. So for you to completely control the mind, what is that? Tatra ekagram manaha kritva yata chittendriya kriyaha. All these are too much difficult. Going to a secluded place, sitting on a deer skin. So it's little too much. One who is not self-controlled and whose mind is not disturbed cannot practice meditation. Therefore, it is said that in Kali Yuga, when people in general are short-lived, slow in spiritual realization and always disturbed by various anxieties, the best means is chanting Hare Krishna. Okay. So what you need to do, Prabhupada said. Okay. What an Ashtanga Yogi does, Krishna is saying. 13th and 14th slokas, continuing the whole thing. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan achalam sthitaha sthiraha samprekshanasika gramsvam dishaschanavalokayan prashantatma vigatabhir brahmachari vrate sthitaha manah samyamya machitto yukta asita matparaha. Next, He says, samam kaya shiro grivam. Samam kaya shira griva. Your neck, your head and your body should be in a straight line. So sit erect. Okay. You can't always do that. Especially Kali Yuga bodies cannot do that. They do like this. Again, you have to sit erect. So samam kaya shiro grivam. Being erect by keeping body, neck and head straight. And dharayan achalam sthiraha. Don't move here and there. Sampreksha nasikagram swam, then focus completely on the nose. Sampreksha. So you should not fully close your eyes, you should not fully open the eyes. If you fully open the eyes, you see so many things. If you fully close the eyes, you will go into sleep. So half closed, just focus on the tip of the nose. Okay. Next, dishascha anvalokayan. So don't look here and there. Okay, just focus on the tip of the nose. Prashantatma vikatabhir. Mind should be completely peaceful. Vikatabhir. You should not have any anxieties or fears in your mind. Okay. Brahmachari vratesthitaha. You should be rooted in your vow of celibacy. Manaha samyamya machitto. Manaha samyamya means completely control your mind. Machitto. Focus on the Supreme Lord Krishna. In his form as Paramatma for an Ashtanga Yogi. But for us, we focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yukta asita mat paraha. Mat paraha, make me as your ultimate goal of life. So ultimately, whether it is an Ashtanga Yogi or a Jnana Yogi or Bhakti Yogi, the object of meditation or the final goal is Krishna only. Okay? It has to be like that. So these are certain practices, basic practices of Ashtanga Yogi. So Prabhupada writes, the goal of life is to know Krishna, who is situated in the heart as Paramatma in four-handed form. So there are few other details in the purport. One has to practice controlling the mind and avoiding all kinds of sense gratification, of which sex life is the chief. In the rules of celibacy written by the great sages Yajnavalkya, it is said, karmana manasa vacha sarva vasthasu sarvada. Sarvatra mithunatyago brahmacharyam prachakshati. Brahmacharya means celibacy. So that actually means sarvatra mithunatyago, completely avoiding sex life in a physical level, in mental level also. Okay, which is quite difficult in Kali Yuga especially. But the expectation from a brahmachari, ideal expectation from a brahmachari is, so mithunatyaga sarvatra. Okay, in work, in words and mind. So at all times and all circumstances and in all places, one is completely abstaining oneself from sex indulgence. So that's what Prabhupada elaborates. And a brahmachari lives in a gurukula or the place of spiritual master. Okay, and the master trains the young boys in the strict discipline of becoming brahmacharis. Okay, this initial years of someone's life is spent as a brahmachari in the Vedic system, right? Especially brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, they make a point that the initial years are completely spent properly in a brahmachari life. And after that, if they choose, they can enter grihastha ashram, household life, or some people may choose to continue in brahmachari life only throughout the life. So like that, brahmacharis are two types. One is Upakarvana Brahmachari, second is Naishtiki Brahmachari. Upakarvana Brahmachari is a person who is Brahmachari, follows the vow of celibacy up to certain age. After that, he will marry and then he will enter household life. Naishtiki Brahmachari is, he will continue to be as a Brahmachari throughout his life, no marriage. Okay, so there are two types. So in the Bhakti school, a householder Brahmachari is allowed controlled sex life because the cult of Bhakti Yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. So a person who is staying in grihastha ashram can also be brahmachari. He is a grihastha brahmachari because there is no unrestricted engagement in sex life. So there is engagement in sex life with so many restrictions for the procreation of proper children. So one should consider such a person, honest grihastha, also as a brahmachari. Okay. So that being in a householder life, that is also ashram. Basically, ashram is a place where spiritual culture is very prominent. Okay, a householder's house is also called an ashram. A renunciant's cottage or a hermitage is also called an ashram. So ashram is not basically the geographical location. Ashram is basically the upholding the principle of spiritual life and spiritual practices of Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, all these things should be practiced nicely. If somebody is doing it in a house, while living with wife, children, parents and other household paraphernalia, still that place is an ashram. It's as good as a temple where the Lord is being worshipped. Okay. So ashram is a place where spiritual culture, spiritual practices are prominently done. Okay. So next, Vishayam Nivartante Niraharasya Dehinaha Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Parandrishtva Nivartate. So Parandrishtva Nivartate means when somebody has a higher taste in the spiritual practices, then one will not be so distracted by lower sense pleasures. Although there are so many great devotees who are spending time in household life, still they are exalted devotees because they are not distracted by all this household paraphernalia and essential enjoyment available there, all the facilities. We have so many pure devotees described in Bhagavatam who are all householders. Okay, Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, all these are Maharaj. Maharaj means they are householders and they are kings. So they are not normal householders. So they have wives. Some people have multiple wives also. Okay, they have so many children. And not just they are taking care of one house with few, one wife and few children. So they are taking care of the entire kingdom. The level of their responsibilities and influence and access to facilities and enjoyment is profuse, but they are all great devotees. Okay. So Prabhupada compares between Vidura and Pandavas. In the first canto, 13th chapter, when Vidura came to Yudhishthir Maharaj, Vidura was almost like a sannyasi. He has given up his house, okay, before the war only, and much after the war he has returned. So he was going on pilgrimage, he was living life like a mendicant. So he was like a renunciant. But Pandavas have access to all kinds of opulence. They are sitting in Hastinapur palace. Okay, so many soldiers and ministers and citizens were there to serve them. But both were great devotees, pure devotees. Because Prabhupada writes there that a devotee is always wrapped in the thought of Krishna. Wrapped in the thought of Krishna. Some devotees may be wrapped in the thought of Krishna in the forest as a renunciant. And some devotees may be wrapped in the thought of Krishna as kings, as householders in their palaces. Okay. So what makes a person dear to Krishna is his Krishna consciousness. And ashram is a important detail, but it's a detail. It's secondary for him. Krishna doesn't discriminate whether a person is a brahmachari or a grihastha or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi or a brahmana or a kshatriya. He sees whether this person is a devotee or not. Okay. So, Prabhupada, that's why he says that in the bhakti school, a householder brahmachari is also allowed controlled sex life because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses the sexual attraction being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. So, when somebody is wrapped in Krishna consciousness, then one will not be distracted by this sense gratificatory desires. So, in this context of the basic practices of Ashtanga Yoga, Prabhupada gives all these other principles also. 15th sloka. 15th sloka describes the goal of Ashtanga Yoga. Why you have to do all these practices described in the four verses, 11, 12, 13, 14, are describing various practices of Ashtanga Yoga. So, 15th sloka describes the goal of Ashtanga Yoga. Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasah shantim nirvana paramam matsamstham adhigachhati. Yunjan evam sadatmanam, Yunjan means engaging yourself or practicing. Okay. Evam sada atmanam, constantly you are engaging your body, mind and words and soul in this practice. Yogi niyatamanasaha. A yogi engages constantly in this practice. Niyatamanasaha, by controlling his mind. Okay. Shantim nirvana parama matsamstham adigachati. So shantim, what is the result of such a person? Shantim, unadulterated peace. Nirvana paramam means cessation of material existence completely. So this is one result. Next is matsamstham adigachati, means he attains Krishna's kingdom. By practicing this Ashtanga yoga with a controlled mind, by engaging your mind, body and words in Ashtanga yoga, what you are meant to achieve is two things. Cessation of material existence, that is Nirvana Paramam. Second is entering Krishna's kingdom, that is Matsamstham Adigachyati. Fine. So this is the goal, or this is the purpose, or the end result of Ashtanga yoga. Supposed to be the end result. How many will manage to achieve depends on the intensity of their practice. Okay. The ultimate goal in practicing yoga is now clearly explained. Yoga practice is not meant for attaining any kind of material facility. It is to enable the cessation of material existence. So by practicing yoga, you are not trying to facilitate your sense enjoyment. You are trying to withdraw yourself from unrestricted sense enjoyment. So all the planets in the spiritual kingdom are self-illuminated like the sun in the material sky. The kingdom of God is everywhere, but the spiritual sky and planets thereof are called Param Dhamma, or superior abodes. You can open this curtains so that some light comes in. Okay, good. We'll start the 16th shloka. 16th shloka. Natya shantastu yogostim. Nachaikantam anashnatah. Nachati swapna shilasya. Jagrato naiva charjuna. Okay. So the 16th shloka and 17th shloka presents some recommendations for Ashtanga yoga. Okay. So what are some prerequisites or some useful attributes that you are supposed to have for practicing Ashtanga yoga? So number one is, na asti ashnatostu yogosti. We should not eat too much. So first rule is about the diet. Don't eat too much. Next, na chaikantam anashnataha. You should not eat too less also. Don't eat too little, don't eat too much. Second, na chati swapna shilasya jagrato naiva charjuna. You should not sleep too much, you should not sleep too little also. If you are not sufficient in sleeping, whatever amount of rest that your body needs, if you are not giving that much rest to the body, so body may not be able to practice Ashtanga yoga. If you are oversleeping also, it's not proper. So don't overeat, don't oversleep. Don't sleep too little, don't eat too less. Okay, two things. 17th shloka. So before that, in the 16th purport, Prabhupada writes, regulation of diet and sleep is recommended herein for the yogis. So don't think that it is for Ashtanga yogi, I don't have to do all this. So some of these principles that are described here are very much relevant for bhakti yogis also. You should not eat too much, you should not sleep too much. That is relevant for you also. Oh, bhakti yogi, I can sleep for 15 hours in a day. I can eat Mahaprasad as much as I want. So one should have regulation there also. So sitting on deer skin may not be relevant for you, but having moderate sleep and diet is relevant for us also. So too much eating means eating more than what is required to keep the body and soul together. There is no need for men to eat animals. So one can just stick to grains, vegetables, fruits and milk. Such simple foodstuff is considered to be in mode of goodness. So Krishna describes foods in mode of goodness, passion and ignorance in the later chapters, in the last section, from 13th to 18th. So one who eats, Prabhupada here refers to the third chapter, Bhunjate te tvagham papam ye pachanti atmakaranat. Without offering food to Krishna, if you cook the food and then eat yourself for your own sense gratification, then such a person is as good as a thief and he is verily eating sin. So one should acknowledge that all the grains or whatever food items that I am eating are coming to me by the grace of the Lord. So I will offer to the Lord and I will accept his remnants so that I can be purified. I will express my gratitude to the Lord for giving me these grains and I will feed my body so that I can be fit for his service. So that's the attitude in which a devotee eats food. So not so much for one's sense gratification only, not paying any gratitude to Krishna. It is best that one eats only remnants of foodstuff offered to Krishna. A person in Krishna consciousness does not eat anything which is not first offered to Krishna. Therefore, only the Krishna conscious person can attain perfection in yoga practice. Nor can one artificially abstain from eating, manufacture his own personal process of fasting, practicing yoga. So, these some basic principles all of you are quite aware. You are practicing also, of course. You are eating only prasad, you are not eating anything else. Okay. So then Krishna gives a very important shloka about regulating one's habits. Yukta hara viharasya.
Yukta hara viharasya.
Yukta cheshtasya karmasu.
Yukta cheshtasya karmasu.
Yukta svapnava bodhasya.
Yukta svapnava bodhasya.
Yogo bhavati dukkha.
Yogo bhavati dukkha.
Yukta ahara viharasya. Your ahara, eating habits, vihara, your recreation habits, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, your working habits, all of them should be regulated. Yukta, very regulated and moderate and balanced. Okay, one should not unduly work. You work for 20 hours in a day and sleep only for 4 hours. Okay, so that is also not proper. So one should have a regulation in eating, sleeping and recreation habits. Yukta svapna avabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. If you are regulated in your recreation, eating and sleeping and working habits, then you will not encounter any unnecessary material suffering. Because the body has to be dealt with in a certain manner. One cannot abuse the body. One cannot overstretch the body. Occasionally it may happen. But one should have overall there should be a regulation. One cannot do late nights. One cannot sleep till late in the morning. So, sleeping early, getting up early, feeding the body once or twice or thrice in a day, whatever may be, suiting your health and all. So, that's what is being emphasized here. Extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending and mating, which are the demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. Not only Ashtanga Yoga, in Bhakti Yoga also. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practicing to take Krishna prasadam only. Okay? And vegetables, flowers, that is patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, avyartha kalatvam. One should, a Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. So one should make sure that one's time, valuable human time, is utilized very effectively for a good purpose. Unnecessarily wasting time is really foolishness. So one should utilize one's time for a noble activity, for a spiritual purpose, okay, to help others, to serve Vaishnavas, to serve the Lord, to study the scriptures, to chant the holy names of the Lord. Or just spend some time with devotees. Guhyam akhyati prachati bhungte bhojayate chaiva dadati pratigrihnati. There are some 6 loving exchanges between devotees. Spending time with Vaishnavas, So not that you are always focusing on your work only. You can always sit with other devotees and then have a light-hearted, pleasant talk on some good Krishna conscious topics. Okay, not some prajalpa. So some reflection, some introspection based on Shastra, based on your services. So this kind, that's how one should spend one's time. Unnecessarily wasting time, we are just unnecessarily underutilizing our human life, not effectively utilizing time. Time is very valuable. One can accomplish a lot in one human form. So those people who have accomplished a lot by rendering a lot of service to humanity, they have effectively utilized their time. So by wasting their time, one cannot accomplish many things. One cannot contribute something valuable and tangible to others also. So by properly channelizing our time, okay, you should have a schedule. It's up to you. Details are unlimited. How you exactly manage your time. So our class is not that. But point is, effectively utilize time. So one should propose this. Avyartha kalatvam. A Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, his sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal in the respect, in this respect, is Srila Rupa Goswami, who was always engaged in the service of Krishna and who could not sleep more than 2 hours a day, and sometimes not even that. And Haridas Thakur would not accept prasadam, not even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting. How many names? 192 rounds. 300,000 names. So this may be a very great standard, but what is recommended? Prabhupada only says that some 6 hours of sleep is reasonable for you to sleep. Okay. So like that, eating whatever 2 times or 3 times, whatever may be your system. So that is allowed. Okay, 18th sloka. Actually, if one overeats and oversleeps, there is wastage of time. If you eat so much, to digest it, it will take some time. And it will take some energy. After eating so much, you cannot get back to work very fast. So you feel like sleeping. So like that, by having restricted habits of eating and sleeping, you can save a lot of time also. 18th, by having a regulated lifestyle, one need not waste time in getting sick. Okay, because sickness, many of you must be experiencing. So sickness will consume a lot of time. We won't be able to do much during sickness period. Okay, some people may do in sickness period also, that's a different thing. But when we are sick, we can't do much. So make sure that as a part of your karma, you have to definitely encounter some sickness. But make sure that that sickness is not a result of your totally unregulated lifestyle. So one should not purchase that sickness. Okay. One cannot avoid, of course, after all, in this world. 18th sloka. So 18th sloka also continues. We have completed the recommendations for the practice of Ashtanga Yoga. So up to the 17th sloka. Recommendations are regulated diet, regulated sleep, and regulated working habits and other things. Fine. Before that 15th sloka, we spoke about the goal of Ashtanga Yoga. And before that 4 slokas, 11, 12, 13, 14, we discussed the basic practices of Ashtanga Yoga. And the first sloka, that is 10th sloka, describes the practices of a person in Yoga Rudha stage, which is a very advanced stage. So, like the 10th to 17th, these 8 slokas described the practicing stage of Ashtanga Yoga, basic and advanced. Now 18th sloka till 23rd sloka are describing the perfectional stage of Ashtanga Yoga. Once you have perfected your Ashtanga Yoga, what are you? How will you be? That is being described here. 18th sloka says that yada vinayitam chittam atman yevavatishthati. Vinayitam chittam means you have fully disciplined your mental activities or consciousness. So your mind or your consciousness is not going all over the place. You have disciplined it nicely. Vinayitam chittam. Next. Atmani evava tishthate nishpruhaha sarvakamebhyo. Atmani evava tishthate means you are fixed up in yourself. Right? So you are fully aware and conscious and acting on the platform of being a soul, spirit soul. Not just too distracted by being in a material body. Okay, so you are conscious. Just like yesterday I was giving this example of train. So you are a passenger in train. If your identity of yourself is too much as a passenger in the train, you are too bothered about your berth and about the facilities in train, about the fan, about the toilet, about the floor, about the people who are coming there, vendors, this and that. You are too much engrossed in it, and every small thing will irritate you so much. Okay? Oh, you don't have a reserve ticket, where are you sitting here? So, yeah, you may question if needed. But the whole journey, you can't be just describing that only. Fine? So, your identity as a passenger is secondary identity. But you have other identities as somebody in this secular world, as a family member, as a person who is working somewhere, as an employee, whatever. Okay? So similarly, a person who is advanced in yoga practice, he identifies himself as soul, as spirit soul, not material body. Thus, he is not so much bothered about what happens to his body, although he responsibly takes care of the body. Fine? Atman yeva vatishthate means you are fixed up in your understanding as a spirit soul, not too much overwhelmed with your identity as a body, which is a temporary identity. Most of the times, most people in this planet are overwhelmed with their temporary identities as men, women, American, Indian, employee, youngster, old man. So their discussions and their thoughts and actions are totally pertaining to their material identity only. In spiritual circles, we are taught to identify ourselves as Das, as servant of Krishna, servant of Vaishnavas. That's why the Das name, that Das tag is also present permanently in our name. Okay. So that's the real identity. That's what Atman Yevavatishthate means. Nispraha Sarvakame Bhyo. Nispraha means you have no attachments or no desires. Sarvakamebhyo, you are detached from all kinds of material desires. Yukta ityuchyate tada. Okay, this is how an advanced yogi conducts himself. So, when you identify yourself as spirit soul, not as a material body who is having some material designations and material desires. So, when you identify yourself as a spirit soul, all your activities are centered around that identity. Prabhupada gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj. How he is engaging all his senses in Krishna service. Okay. Savai manah Krishna padaravinda yor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanuvartane karau harer mandira marjanadishu stutim chakarachuta satkathodaye. So, Ambarish Maharaj, Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravindayor. He engaged his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. He engaged his power of words in glorifying the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Lord, Vishnu or Krishna. Next, Karau Harer Mandiramarjanadishu. He has engaged his hands in cleaning the temple of the Supreme Lord. Next, Shritim Chakarachyuta Satkathodaye. He engaged his ears in hearing the Satkatha, the good narrations of Krishna. Fine. Next, Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drishau Tadbhritya Gatra Sparshenga Sangamam Granam Chatatpada Saroja Saurabhe Srimatulasya Rashanam Tadarpite. Very important. Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drishav. He engaged his power of vision. He engaged his eyes in taking darshan of the Supreme Lord's deity form in the temple. right? You see Vrindavan Bihari. So that is the purpose of having eyes. Fine. Next, tad bhritya gatra sparshe angasangamam. He engages the power of his touch in embracing the devotees, Vaishnavas. Next, granam cha tat pada saroja saurabhe srimat tulasya rashanam. So when you offer tulasi to the lotus feet of Krishna, that tulasi is worth worshipping, and the fragrance that is emanating from that tulasi which is offered to the lotus feet of the Lord will create spiritual desires in our minds. So Ambarish Maharaj engaged his nose in smelling the fragrance of tulasi offered to Krishna's lotus feet. So by smelling the fragrance coming from the tulasi offered to the lotus feet of Vishnu, the four Kumaras were transformed. Earlier they were impersonalists, they were attached to the impersonal aspect of the Lord, but there is a transformation in their body and their mind. They became devotees. They thought that serving the Supreme Lord Krishna is a better way than being an impersonalist. Okay, all this is because they smelled the fragrance coming from tulasi. The third canto of Bhagavatam describes this. Tasya Ravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antargata Svavivarena Chakaratesham Sankshobhamaksharajusham Apichitta Tanvoham Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda. From the lotus feet of that lotus-eyed Krishna, this fragrance is coming. Why? Because tulasi is there. Okay, tasyara vinda nayanasya padara vinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayuhu. The vayu carried the fragrance of tulsi leaves from that lotus feet till the nostrils of these four Kumaras. Okay, then sankshobham akshara jusham apichitta tanvoho. There is a transformation in their attitude, in their body and in their minds also. First, it entered the body. It entered the nostrils. How can this wind enter the nostrils without any invitation? So now four Kumaras were blocked by Jaya and Vijaya because you are coming to Vaikuntha without any invitation. How can you just intrude into someone else's palace without any invitation? So similarly, you can question, oh wind carrying the fragrance of aroma of tulasi, how can you enter the nostrils of four Kumaras without any invitation? So just like four Kumaras became angry. Oh, you are stopping us. You are saying that we don't have an invitation card. Who will stop us? We are Brahmanas. We are children. Similarly, the wind also says, who can stop me? I am wind. I can go wherever I want. I will enter your nostrils also. Entering your nostrils, I will change your minds. Right? I will change your bodies. I will change your minds. You are impersonalists. I will make you devotees. Right? You are attached to the impersonal features of the Lord. I will make you devotees of Krishna. You will be attached to the service of Krishna. So like that wind carrying the aroma of the tulsi coming offered to the lotus feet of Vishnu changed the minds of four Kumaras. So one has to engage one's power of smell in smelling the tulsi. Okay. Next. Padau harer kshetra padanu sarpane shiro hrishikesha padabhi vandane kamam chadasye natu kama kamyaya yathottama shloka janashrayarati. This is another beautiful shloka. Padau hareh kshetra padanu sparshane. Ambarish Maharaj has engaged his legs in visiting the holy places, Hari Kshetras. Next, Siro Hrishikesha Padabhivandane. He engaged his Sira, his head, in offering obeisances to this Hrishikesha, the Supreme Lord. Next, Kamam Cha Dasye Natu Kama Kamyaya. All his desires are directed towards service to Krishna, not for his own sense gratification. This is how our Ambarish Maharaj has spent his time, and he engaged all his senses and mind in Krishna's service. Yathottama shloka janashraya ratihi. He was so attached to the pure devotees, right? Not materialistic people. So this is how one has to engage oneself in Krishna consciousness. Now you see, Krishna is describing the perfectional stage of Ashtanga Yoga, and Prabhupada is quoting the example of a pure devotee who is like an epitome of Bhakti Yogi, Bhakti Yoga. So Acharyas are thoroughly Krishna conscious, and they are very clear in their understanding and explanation of what is the supreme path relevant for everyone. So Ashtanga Yoga may go on, but Prabhupada emphasizes on Bhakti Yoga. A perfect yogi is so well disciplined in the activities of the mind that he can no longer be disturbed by any kind of material desires, and he quotes the example of Ashtanga Yogi, of Ambarish Maharaj, who is a Bhakti Yogi. Because Prabhupada is actually bringing us to the conclusion and essence of Bhagavad Gita every now and then, even in the middle also. The end of this whole chapter is basically Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. The topmost transcendentalist or topmost yogi is Bhakti Yogi. So he is speaking about Bhakti Yogi here. 19th sloka.
Yatha dīpo nivātastho.
This is another very beautiful shloka. Dīpa is a lamp. You are daily offering Damodar lamps to our Radha Damodar and Radha Vrindavan Bihari. So if there is lot of wind, so now you see somebody is lighting your lamps, you are taking that lamp all the way in front of the altar and then offering. If there is wind, the lamp will be extinguished, right? So yatha dīpo nivātastho, in a windless place a lamp will glow very steadily. Yatha dīpo nivāta, vāta is wind, nivāta means there is no wind. Yatha dīpo nivātastho nengate sopama smṛtaha. Okay, so it does not waver. Na ingati means the lamp, the flame does not waver. Yogino yata cittasya, similarly the mind of a yogi should not waver, should not get distracted, should not go here and there, right? Yunjate yogamātmanah, it should always be steady on the meditation on the Supreme Lord. Okay, so yogam atmanah, your focus should be on your yoga practice, just like a flame of a lamp does not waver in a windless place, the mind of a yogi does not waver when he is fixed up in his practice of yoga. So that is the expectation, that is perfection in Ashtanga Yoga. So once you are doing Ashtanga Yoga, if you are very perfect in your practice, then you will not be distracted anymore. Fine. Initial stages of yoga practice, your mind may be distracted, you are trying to bring it back. Okay. But in advanced stage, it doesn't get disturbed. 20th sloka. So 20, 21, 22, 23, in these four slokas, Krishna describes the realizations of a yogi after attaining perfection. Okay, in the samadhi stage or perfection stage of Ashtanga Yoga, what are your realizations? Krishna says,
Yatroparamate chittam
niruddham yoga sevaya
yatra chaivatmanatmanam
pashyan atmani tushyati
sukham atyantikam yattat
buddhigrahyam atindriyam
vetiyatranachaivayam
sthitaschalati tattvatah
yam labdhva chaparam labham
manyate nadhikam tatah
yasmin sthitona dukhena
gurunapi vichalyate तम विद्या दुख संयोग वियोगम योग संयुतम. So these four verses are describing the realizations in the perfection stage of Ashtanga Yoga. So yatroparamate chittam, so yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. The consciousness of a perfect yogi is completely restrained from all mental activities, material mental activities. Okay, mental activities are there, but they are focused on the supreme, not on material sense objects. Yatra uparamate chittam. Uparamate means you have withdrawn yourself, you have resigned, you have given a resignation letter. Your chitta or your mind or consciousness has given a resignation letter. Okay, any material affairs, I am resigning. Okay, I am focusing on my yoga practice only. Yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. One can see the self by the pure mind and be satisfied with it. Okay. Yatra chaivatmana atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. Tushyati means you are satisfied. You are completely satisfied in seeing the self, capital self, S-C-L-F, means the super self, the Paramatma. You are meditating on the Paramatma, you have entered the trance, you are able to perceive the form, and you are satisfied with that form. You are not looking for satisfaction in any other material activities, as said in the previous line. Yatra uparamate chittam, then pashyan atmani chatmani, pashyan atmani tushyati. Next, sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrahyam atindriyam. And such a person will attain boundless bliss, spiritual bliss. Sukham is bliss. Atyantikam yattat. Okay. Atyantikam means that supreme happiness. Okay. It does not have an end. It is not subjected to any material conditions. Sukham atyantikam. Yattat buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Okay, atindriyam means that which cannot be attained by your material senses. You will attain that kind of bliss or happiness which is not accessible to material senses. Your soul, your heart will be completely satisfied. So one gets boundless spiritual bliss by spiritual intelligence, not by material senses. Buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Buddhigrahya means at an intellectual plane, means at on a subtle level, on a higher or internal level, you are experiencing happiness, not in an external plane. For example, somebody is serving food to 10 people. A mother is serving food to her children. So she may have, say, 4 children, and then she has made gulab jamun and pakoda and rasmalai and sandesh and fried rice, etc. So she is serving and they are eating. All of them ate everything. Okay. She did not get anything. Will she be happy or morose? Definitely happy. So mother takes pleasure when the children are eating so nicely. Unless they are sick. Okay. So although she does not get some items. Okay, gulab jamun, I have made 10 gulab jamuns, but these kids have taken everything. They didn't leave me even one. That's fine. She is happy. So that happiness is at the level of heart, not at the level of tongue. By eating the gulab jamun, the tongue of the mother may be satisfied, but she has transcended that level of happiness of receiving some bliss by eating gulab jamun. Definitely there is happy, that there is happiness in that. But more than such kind of happiness is the happiness of the heart. Oh, my children are very happy with my cooking. With whatever I have fed them, they are very happily eating. Even if I don't get to all of them, it's okay. My heart is satisfied. Like that. So even on such simple platform also you can understand. Here is a yogi who is completely satisfied by spiritual bliss, by seeing the Supreme Lord within as Paramatma. So this sukham that he is getting, sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrahyam atindriyam. It is not a happiness that is perceivable by the material external senses. It is a happiness that is okay. Maharaj is going for rounds, sir. Parikrama. Next.
Vetti yatrana chaivayam sthitas chalati tattvataha.
Okay, the next line of this sloka says, one is never deviated from the truth of one's spiritual nature.
Vetti yatrana chaivayam sthitaha chalati tattvataha. Tattva is truth.
The truth about yourself, the truth about the Lord are completely rooted in your mind. Right? You will not be deviating from that understanding.
Yam labdhva chaparam labham.
Another, this is a very important verse.
Yam labdhva chaparam labham.
Having attained this supreme labham or gain, munyate na adhikam tataha. You don't find anything else superior to this. Once you experience the spiritual happiness, you will not settle down to some material happiness. Okay?
So, yasmin sthito na dukkhena gurunapi vichalyate.
Even if you attain such great amount of distress also, still na vichalyati, you will not be perturbed. Because you are rooted in your spiritual happiness and spiritual position. Bhagavatam describes this as mahimnisve mahiyati. Means you are situated in your supreme glory as the soul, as a spirit soul. You are no more bothered by this understanding of you being a body with certain material designations, right? The real pleasure you have access to. So, next, last line.
Tam vidya dukkha samyoga vyogam yoga samsthitam.
Situated in full determination, one is never shaken, even in greatest difficulty. And the state of samadhi or trance, that is called asampragnata samadhi, is the real freedom from all material desires. Vyogam yoga samsthitam. Here acharyas describe that there are two types of samadhi. One is sampragnata samadhi, second is asampragnata samadhi. Sampragnata samadhi involves meditation on various gross and subtle objects, and one comes to transcendental position by various philosophical researches. So you are still active in seeing. You are meditating on some gross and subtle objects also, and you are analyzing them also. You are trance. You are absorbed in doing that. That is samadhi. But there is asampragnata samadhi. It involves meditation on no material object. It's only meditation on spiritual objects. So one becomes transcendental to all sorts of happiness derived from senses. So you are rooted in a deeper object, right? It's not a material object. Fine. So these are the kinds of samadhis. So these are all realizations in samadhi, right? So next. The last paragraph of this purport, Prabhupada writes, as long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body. What are they? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But a person who is in pure bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness does not arouse the senses while meeting the demands of the body. Rather, he accepts the bare necessities of life, making the best use of a bad bargain, and enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so we completed the perfectional stage of Ashtanga Yoga also, 18th to 23rd slokas. What's the time now? Oh, we crossed time. I think we can take the next section, next subsection in the next class. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tomorrow.